This land is your land. This land is my land. From California to the New York Island. From the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters. This land was made for you.
Good evening. This is Rock Cash, your host this week on A People Speak. The People Speak invites audience participation. You can listen in by phone calling 716-748-0144. Or if you have a smartphone or a computer, you can go to bbsradio.com and navigate to station 2 and click on the listen icon. You can also participate during this show with a call in questions for our guests. Toll free United States and Canada, 1-888-429-5471. A year ago, Jeff Mackler and Lynn Stewart's husband, Ralph Pointer, appeared on The People Speak with host Samantha Legend. A promise was made if Lynn Stewart was released from prison, they would return to our show and sing their high school anthem for our audience. Well, Lynn has been freed, and we are all ears. Lynn, Ralph, Jeff, have at it.
Glad you have a sense of humor.
Yes, it might be more of a punishment for these folks than a gift to them. But
okay.
Well,
Lynn, if I made the promise, why don't I start for Jamaica High?
Okay, Virgin Bank.
Here's a song to her we love.
Her we love. Jamaica, tried and true.
Source of all our dearest love. The school of red and blue.
Red and blue.
Red and blue. Red and blue.
School of red and blue.
Our hearts go out with love to her.
Oh, school of red and blue. Or reasonable facts.
Bravo. Bravo. Welcome back to society, Lynn. You were
well,
jailed.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I know Ralph, listening to that, thinks that he was in high school in Western Pennsylvania, and he probably wishes he was there right now, so he doesn't have to listen to us. But there you have it. Thank you for the welcome home. There's nothing like it.
Jamaica High, was that Jamaica, New York?
That was Jamaica, New York. Yes, indeed. Queens, New York.
Oh, that's very, very good. Well, I'm formerly of Long Island, so that's a good thing. Lynn, if you can, please explain to us why you were jailed. I mean, I understand that you were accused, how they got the conviction that you were passing messages to Abdulrahman and a few other so-called quote-unquote terrorists.
That's the party line, Rod. But the truth of the matter is that the entire prosecution was based upon a very openly made press release to Reuters, not a small outfit in the world. And it was based on something that my client asked me to do and that I felt as a lawyer I was constrained, and not just constrained, but I felt that that was my duty to do so. This was something that he wanted to put out to the world, and he had been a figure on the world stage, particularly the Egyptian stage, for many, many, many years. So I made the press release, and that became the background for a charge of materially aiding terrorism, which really was a strain, to say the least. They basically accused me of, as you just said, passing a message, and my material aid was providing my client's voice to the people of Egypt. An interesting construction. Nonetheless, that was why I went to jail. But I think the bigger picture and the more important one, certainly for a program such as yours, is the fact that I was a, as they make of so many, excuse having a senior moment here, an example that was set out for other lawyers that if you don't represent your client the way the government wants you to represent them, then you will be in trouble and you may end up like Lynn Stewart. And that, I think, is the real underlying message of my indictment, my conviction, and the time, the 4 years I spent in jail.
And I would like to add to that, the political reality of today is that the United States government was backing a dictator, Hosni Mubarak, in Egypt for 28 years, who no one dared run against. And if anybody did dare, they were in prison. And the man that Lynn defended was an enemy of Hosni Mubarak. Now, the people of Egypt had thrown Hosni Mubarak out, put him in jail, and then the United States government has released him from jail and taken over with the army, another dictatorship. And so this is the underlying cause, the political cause, as to why Lynn had to be put away, because she exposed the very important. Hello?
Yes. Well, it seems that they're jailing, you know, a lot of people that are out there trying to speak the truth and expose what's really going on. And I'm sure that you were one of those cases, Lynn. Scott Ritter, that, you know, tried to say that there was no weapons of mass destruction, they were all destroyed and everything else, you know, they started trumping up charges on him. Lynn, as a lawyer and an attorney, what is the best way to stop the government from doing its actions against these people that are trying to tell the truth? It seems like all of our rights are being trampled on a daily basis.
Well, I think we may take an example from Snowden, who was made very sure that his truth got out before they could kick him to the curb, as they had done so many other whistleblowers. He insulated the truth and gave it to a journalist, Greenwald, who was going to put it out in the best way possible. The best way, though, for everyday folks who see the government as overreaching, as we must do, I believe, is to join politically with other people. That is our greatest protection, is to have other people who are aware of the situation and who will come to one's defense in the event that there is such a move put on someone by the government. And we know they are listening to everybody, so it's conceivable anyone can be a target of theirs. But for me, the answers are always political. And I think from day one, from the day they shockingly arrested me, I couldn't imagine why I was being arrested, up until right this minute, for me, the solutions are always political. And I think we have to, instead of thinking personally, we have to think politically. And I think the best way to protect oneself is to join with like-minded people politically so we have that kind of a defense in place.
I fully concur with that. And I find it hard to motivate people and, you know, to get people on board, because as you know as well as I do, majority of the people, as long as they're comfortable in their own lives, they're very passive. But even though, quote unquote, they're awake or they see what's going on, they're less likely to react. But I do implore the IAC Center that you guys are affiliated with, because we're all out there working for getting resolutions to happen and stop the things going on.
The IAC, of course, is one of many. I cannot tell you if I tried to list all of the persons and all of the organizations, and all, of course, you have one of them on the phone right now who has led the charge from the West Coast from the day I got arrested, Jeff Mackler. And, you know, we are definitely affiliated. And as I say, the thing that is most encouraging about my getting released is this was really an effort that was done by the left. This was a movement effort as opposed to, oh, yes, I'm connected to so-and-so and so-and-so. This is really a movement effort because we have, as you know, over 45,000 people who signed the petition. And we had people who never relented, among them my good husband, who I think is still on the call or who may be fading fast out there, but anyway, who was out in front of the White House during all of last August's heat every single day, organizing. And there were others as well, not to the level he carried it, because he was really undefeatable. But other people who let their whole listserv know, or who talked to people in church or in such and such a professional meeting, they reached out and they said, you ought to know this story about this wonderful lawyer who's in jail and doesn't deserve to be, and now she's dying of cancer, and they won't let her come home. So it's all of those people plus the organizations that backed me up.
Yeah, well, you shouldn't have been there in the first place. Jeff Mackler, sir, can you put in a word or two as to your thoughts about what's going on in this country today and why all of this is going on?
Well, to give you just one idea, as I understand, Lynn technically was charged with a violation of a SAM, Special Administrative Measure, which banned her, so the government said, from releasing any information statements of her client. And the 2 years when this happened, the government declined to prosecute. Normally, if someone violates a SAM, they get a slap on the wrist. They're not allowed to visit their client for a while. Perhaps they have to sign a new SAM, which Lynn did. So the Clinton administration and Attorney General Janet Reno declined to even prosecute Lynn. It was only, as I understand, 2 years later that the Bush administration decided to make an example of Lynn to chill the defense bar. And that is to say to lawyers, if you represent a controversial person aggressively and according to due diligence of the standards of that are required on you representing a client, you can be punished. And that was the effect of Lynn's persecution. I think the judge himself understood that the government's request when we went into that courtroom for 30 years was insane. And so he granted Lynn a sentence that was quite shocking to the government, 28 months. And the government's outrage was expressed when they appealed the sentence and essentially demanded that the judge reconsider. And that's when Lynn was sentenced to 20 years, 10 years in prison. So I think it is political. And I think the polls show that the Lynn Stewarts in the world and the Snowdens of the world are the people who have won the hearts and minds of the American people. We don't like to live in a country with police state measures which taps our phones and our emails and our private conversations and seeks to persecute those who tell the truth about it. Lynn was a truth teller. That was her crime. And she is out because tens of thousands of people across the country from hundreds and hundreds of organizations, including our own here on the West Coast, the Lynn Stewart Defense Committee and the United National Anti-War Coalition, and others that represent social justice activists for everywhere, joined in because they saw a grave injustice and they didn't believe for 1 second that Lynn Stewart, a lifetime attorney of 30 years, had committed any crime whatsoever.
And it must be understood that before Lynn made a press release breaking the sands, other attorneys had done it in the same case and in other cases after that, and they only went after Lynn Stewart. So you have to ask the question, why this selective prosecution against Lynn Stewart? And that's the issue.
Well, the selective prosecution, I would say, is because she's trying to free a man that probably didn't do anything wrong. And it was accusations that just put him in jail, only because he was opposed to the Egyptian Mubarak regime.
Exactly.
So true.
Well, we find that going on all over the world now. Anybody that dares to stand up and say anything that the government is on a path of a police state or isn't telling the truth or anything else, it seems like they get the onslaught of the what I call the Zionist media. I don't like to call it the Zionist media, but the mainstream media is definitely controlled by a group of people. Jeff, maybe you could add on to that for us.
I would add that it's the wealth media, the wealth of the corporations that have always run America. And so the same people are doing the same thing on steroids because the people, as the people learn and as the people react, as we begin to get truth tellers, you know, they're popping up. And I expect in the coming days, more people will be standing up telling us what the government has been doing, and the government repression will become greater, and it will get to the point where the people will no longer be, as Malcolm X said, bamboozled by lies of the government, because it's going to be too obvious what is happening. And I hope that people are beginning to wake up when they see Lynn Stewart, one of the 10 best in New York, being, you know, prosecuted for telling the truth and doing a good job. And we have to also look at the other cases that Lynn Stewart has done over the years that were for liberation. Those in Weather Underground, the Higher Seven, SDS, all of those who were fighting for justice could always go to the door of Lynn Stewart and say, I need a defense. And the government was not happy with that either.
Yes, well, I agree with Ralph. The problem is not the Zionist media. I don't know of a Zionist media. I know of a corporate media that is owned and financed by the same people who are organizing the austerity programs against all people. This isn't a Jewish conspiracy. This is a position of the government of the United States, and it affects everyone. And Lynn was persecuted because of her life history on the one hand, and because the government chose to use the so-called war on terror following 9/11 to chill everyone who was critical of the government and to justify its wars everywhere in the world, its interventions, whether it be in Iraq or Syria or Libya or everyone else, in the name of the war on terror. And Lynn was the public example of that.
Well, it's not just the war on terror, supposedly, because it seems to be everything else, the war on drugs, the war on the banks. It seems like they're selling us out to the corporate bankers. They're selling us out to the corporations. They're selling us out to everybody. Now, me personally, I've experienced something in my own personal life with a ticket, and the ticket wasn't paid. It was sold to a collections agency. That, to me, it seemed unconstitutional here in the state of California, but it seemed unconstitutional, period, that they're selling civil fines to corporations that are, you know, expanding further on and charging you double the price of the ticket.
At any rate, I also want to weigh in on the media. Because there, of course, is a definite, and it was amazing how nobody reported my case without saying she smuggled secrets, as if I was putting them under my bra strap and carrying them out of the prison. And actually, these were visits that were even recorded in a final instance, clearly unconstitutionally, attorney-client privilege, while it's not in the Constitution, it certainly is part of a fair trial. And so they certainly are controlling, and once they have a label to pin on you, they will continue to pin that label on you. And I have, we have successfully withstood a lot of that by having journalists that we know and who understand a little bit more carry the story when it's to be carried. And, of course, we have some of our own media. There certainly can be nothing that was comparable to the coverage at the airport the day I came home by Democracy Now. I mean, Amy Goodman's show was just a paradigm of the way we should treat our heroes when they return to us or when they accomplish something great. We do have to sell to the American public the notion that we, too, we have people's heroes, and they are every bit as important as Beyonce and Dr. Dre and Obama.
I concur. Lynn, was there any further harassment on the behalf of the prison system while you were in jail, while you were incarcerated? Were you mistreated in any way, shape, or form?
Well, the entire prison experience for anybody is mistreatment. It just is. It goes with the territory. But I can't say I was singled out in any way. As a matter of fact, once again, the fact that I had such support from the outside, I received so much mail. The warden received calls. The BOP, the Bureau of Prisons, received calls. Holder, Obama, all got emails galore. They knew that people were watching what they did to me. It is really the other people in jail, the people that have no watchdog, that have no one to stand up for them. They are being abused, and that is by an arbitrary system that really does not rehabilitate anybody and basically is locking people in cages in the most cruel manner imaginable.
Well, it's a business.
Yeah.
It's a business, and exactly. It seems to be more so of a business that they have created, and they're turning that over to the corporations also, along with a lot of our police services. Now, isn't that all unconstitutional with you being an attorney? Maybe you can answer that for us.
Well, of course, I'm not an attorney anymore, and I don't want to step on the toes of any kind of regulatory commission that does, are you still acting like an attorney? But as a citizen, I certainly can say that, you know, it is what the corporations say it is. And if our elected officials are willing to say, yes, there can be a corporate police force, yes, there can be corporate jails, yes, we can corporatize just about anything we want, then that is on us. We are the ones that have to stand up and say, no, that is not going to happen. However, as you remarked earlier, it is hard. It is most difficult to organize people to stand up. But I think I personally am happy to keep trying. I can certainly say that any of my good fortune and being able to be out here to talk on your program and not inside a jail where I was not permitted to be on the radio waves or the television waves is a statement that the people can accomplish great things, and that we have to have more confidence in that, and we have to say, that, as Carl Sandburg said, the people, yes.
And I would like to add to that, Lynn, your short answer when I asked you what was jail like very early on, and your answer was the same elements that hold sway in society on the outside hold sway inside the prison, that is race and class.
Okay.
Exactly.
All right. I've got a question for you, Lynn, from one of our listeners, and she wants to know if you, or he wants to know if you heard of the anti-nuke activist Megan Rice, 84-year-old activist facing up to 30 years for her protest. And what do you think about that?
I believe I have read about Megan, but I must say that after a year of chemo and aging, my memory is not clear, but I know that there are numbers of people who have done nuclear protests, and especially in this day and age, protests against drones, and that they, I believe, are also heroes because they are bringing to the attention of the rest of us how very deadly and very evil, you know, this practice is by our government. And yes, they have a thing where they say the, quote, green terrorists, and of course that includes animal rights people and eco rights people, and they are going to punish them. They say they are the greatest danger right now, and probably because their cause is appealing to people. People feel for them as well. Marie Mason, who was in the same physical jail I was in, but in a separate part, held more or less in solitary, she was an animal rights and an Earth First person, and she is doing 22 years for that action. So it's definitely true that they pile on the time, and they do it under the most specious of rationale. And these folks need rescue, definite. And if the person that you named, Megan, could you tell me her name again?
Megan Rice.
Megan Rice. Should certainly be surrounded. If she has not yet been sentenced, there should be a massive outpouring of persons at that sentencing and writing to that judge to say that prisoners of conscience should not be punished with sentences like that.
Okay, this question goes out to Jeff real quick. Jeff, the IAC, how can people, you know, get involved with the IAC and get put into action? Can you give us the website and everything else so we can put it out there to the audience and get people actively involved?
Right. Well, to be frank, I'm not a member or representative of the IAC. But it is a wonderful group that has stood staunch in its defense of Lynn and in its opposition to U.S. wars. So I don't have handy the IAC's information, but if you check out the International Action Center on the website, I'm sure you'll find them out. They have a national headquarters in New York.
Yeah, it's
I'm
IAC.
With a group that collaborates with the IAC. It's called the United National Anti-War Coalition. And we work in common actions for Lynn and for peace and justice, and you can contact us through unacpeace.org. That's UNAC, unacpeace.org. And I'm sure you can find the IAC on the web.
Oh, absolutely. The IAC, it's iaactioncenter.org. That is the IAC. Lynn, we have a question for you on your health, and have you thought about alternative medicines?
The answer to that, to answer the second question first, I definitely am considering all alternative medicines. I did have a consult with my oncologist at Sloan Kettering last week, and she is going to cease the chemotherapy, which is a good thing, because, you know, you suffer more from the cure than the disease. But and she is going to, the oncologist at Sloan is going to start me on some inhibitors, that is female hormone inhibitors that cancer doesn't like, and see where we end up with that. So that is encouraging to me, and I am encouraging everybody who knows of a way or knows of something or someone who has been able to beat cancer to please get in touch with me. It's lynnstewart.org. And because we have a whole committee headed by my daughter, who's a doctor, but who is very much into alternative healing, who are evaluating all of the alternatives.
If you don't mind me asking.
We are happily able to say that we did not get a report that said there's nothing more we can do for you. So we're going to go ahead with the more traditional, and then we will consider each and every alternative that is suggested to us.
Great. And if you don't mind me asking, what strain of cancer do you have? Is it non-Hodgkin's? Is it?
No, it was. I had breast cancer that metastasized while I was in jail. That means started up again and moved into my lungs. So it's now, it's hard to wrap your brain around this, but it's breast cancer that is in my lungs is my major problem. I also have it in my lymph nodes and a slight problem on one of my bones. But that, I think, has been dealt with by the chemo I underwent already. So that is basically what I am coping with right now. I don't have a lot of symptomology. I basically get very, very tired. I go to bed very early, and I'm not much good for more than like 2 or 3 hours at a time. But I feel like I'm making a comeback, and certainly being home and being within the arms of my loved ones, all my family, all my friends, all my political community has just done wonders. It's almost a month I've been home, and I think everybody who knows me can see the change from that day at the airport until today. So, you know, there is such a thing as, quote, faith healing. Well, my faith, as my politics, is in the people.
Yes, love does do a lot of healing, and it's always good to be around family and friends that keep you going strong and keep you fighting. Have you heard of the Brzezinski Center in Texas?
Can't say that I have.
Okay, look them up because I've had a few friends that have had a lot of success. So it's
okay. I will do that.
All right. With that being said, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back in just a few minutes here on the BBS Radio Network. The People Speak, Lynn Stewart, Ralph Pointer, and Jeff Mackler. We'll be right back.
With over 150 million registered users, Pal Talk is the largest video chat community in the world, with over 300 Pal Talk support staff speaking dozens of languages to help you enjoy your online experience. Meet new people across town or country or continent while chatting about your interests. Sing live karaoke, listen to music, join a lively political debate, or play group trivia in one of thousands of chat rooms in various categories from your PC, mobile, or tablet device. Joining Pal Talk is free and easy. Go to paltalk.com and become part of our friendly community today.
Got questions? The library's got answers. And books and magazines and CDs and videos and web access and databases and all sorts of other resources at your library. In a world that's information rich, libraries are information smart. Find the right answer and a whole lot more at your library.
In America, most of us have the basics we need to survive. But there are millions of children all over the world who don't. Children who must work instead of going to school. Children who were forced to fight as child soldiers. Children who can't have an ordinary childhood because they lack health care, clean water, or good nutrition. For these children, there is UNICEF. UNICEF works in 157 countries and territories, providing children with what they need to survive and grow. To learn more, visit unicefusa.org or call 1-800-4-UNICEF.
Hello, this is Wesley Snipes. And when I'm divinely inspired and spiritually motivated, I listen to VBSRadio.com.
In a world of abundance, hunger is a crime. When a malnourished child dies, we're all guilty. Yet it happens every 5 seconds. Let's do the right thing. Put hunger away for good. Please, give to the World Food Program.
This land is yours.
Join us on The People Speak for an hour of live interviews and audience interaction as guests of various organizations share their work and strategies which impact our world and make a difference. That's The People Speak every Tuesday, 6 to 7 p.m. Pacific, 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern on the BBS Radio Network.
This land was made for you and me.
Welcome back to the People Speak Radio on the BBS Radio Network with our sound engineer, Don Newsom, and our guest, Lynn Stewart, Ralph Poitner, and Jeff Mackler. Welcome back, Lynn.
Hi there.
And welcome back, Jeff. I don't know if Ralph is back with us yet. Jeff, can you give us legal things that we can do without finding our own selves incarcerated by the feds for unjust charges and things of that nature?
Well, of course, I'm not a lawyer, but I've been in the business 50 years of organizing social protest movements, and I find that the most effective strategy is to educate, organize, and mobilize people and the tens and hundreds of thousands of millions of people to demand their basic rights. I think that has a greater effect on the times, on the law, and on people's consciousness than anything else. As much as we need great lawyers, and Lynn was certainly in that category, they need to be backed up by mass social movements. In fact, if I were to guess, I would say the history of the world is the history of the people in the streets fighting for their own rights, and not the history of a government suddenly deciding to do the right thing. Every war that we've been involved with or prevented has been because there's been a mass protest, and the civil liberties that were won back after the McCarthy era declared that national security trumped individual liberties, freedom of speech and association, were the product of the mass movements in this country for civil rights and civil liberties and against the war in Vietnam. So my confidence has always been in the masses. They're not going to arrest millions in the streets, and in fact, in every country in the world, people mark their liberation and freedom struggles as, or revolutionary struggles, at the time that they took to the streets and broke with the diktats of the established order and fought for their rights and justice and won.
And if I could just add to Jeff's statement, in my case, you know, the government, once I had been recommended for the compassionate release, they stonewalled. They basically sat on it, and they sat on it from April till December 31st. And it was only because they were, and Jeff says this better than I, and I wish I had his phrase, but they were more afraid of the people who were out there clamoring for my release on compassionate ground than they were of not doing it, that we finally won. It was definitely the pressure, because we know that the holders, Department of Justice and the U.S. Attorney's Office, did not want to let me go, and it was only the pressure of thousands of emails, thousands of names on a petition, and heartfelt names, and people such as Bishop Tutu and Dick Gregory and et cetera who backed me. It's got to be massive, and it's got to be sincere, and it's not enough to just haphazardly or carelessly say, oh, yeah, I'm in favor of that. You have to really vote with your feet on these issues.
What we need basically is just a massive sit out. I think we all need to just stop everything we're doing, whether it's paying taxes or going forward with the bill paying everything else to stop these corporations from moving further. I think everybody needs to just put it to a stop for a day or two, and we need to do just a massive protest, and protest by non-compliance, just shut the entire system down because they depend on us to operate it.
But I think we have to be very careful about urging people to do this on an individual basis because, you know, you stop paying taxes, so there are consequences. You can't just tell people to do it unless there's at least another 50,000 that are also going to do it. Otherwise, it's you know, plinking. You don't really get anywhere with it. And the temptation to do something, because we are also terribly frustrated by the level of animosity exhibited towards people by this government, is something we all want to do something about, but we can't just act in an irresponsible way.
I do remember in the early 60s and the mid-60s, we had a motto that said, I will not shut up until people have to begin to understand.
I'm sorry, I think we lost Ralph again.
An example was Lynn Stewart, Randy Manning, Snowden, and many, many others whose names we do not know, who are serving the nation in a way, in a positive manner, that is, in more instructive, as all of us or none of us.
I agree.
I think that's what makes all of the social justice movements that have won exemplary. You know, when I first went into the streets, we had hundreds. In fact, once we had 25,000 people in 1965 saying, bring the troops home from Vietnam. And for many who had come through the McCarthy era, that was a huge demonstration. But as time passed, the 25,000 became 100,000, 200,000, a million, and then tens of millions of people, until finally, at the end, in 1975, the polls showed that literally 75% of the entire American population demanded that the troops be brought home. And you saw the spectacle of the world's most powerful nation, which had dropped more bombs on Vietnam than in the combined history of all human warfare, defeated and had to leave by a poor people with a tiny army facing the greatest military force in the world. Same with the American Civil Rights Movement and all other social struggles, the struggle to build unions. They're all not built so much by individual commitment, as important as the dedication of the individual is, but by the collective common action of everyone, of millions. And that's the kind of social movement that we sought to build. In Lynn's case, we had perpetual demonstrations across the United States, meetings, press conferences, emails, and a collective, massive petition effort to the government demanding that the inhumane sentence of Lynn and their refusal to recognize her absolutely critical condition had to be met with her release. And they decided that the price that they would pay would be less by letting her out than continuing the atrocity of letting her die in jail.
Well, of course, they need to, you know that they're going to be held accountable for everything that goes on. I think this is where we, as the citizenry, have failed ourselves, and that is by not keeping a watchful eye over the people that we choose to govern us.
Well, that's certainly an element of it. Although I have to say that the choices they give regarding the people who govern us are extremely narrow. That is, we get to choose between two evils, and in my personal view, neither of them is a lesser. President Obama has made and organized more wars and attacked more civil liberties and deepened the impact of the Patriot Act than poor George Bush ever imagined. And the same with the bailout of the banks. So it's not much of a choice these days. We need to also, in my opinion, do in the political arena what we do in the streets and mass protests, build a political vehicle that truly represents working people, that is decided and funded and organized by working people, not billionaire corporations and the whoever it is they pick to run for president.
Yeah, I'm in complete agreement with that. But this is where I believe that a civilian committee should be appointed to oversee the government and its doings and everything else. I want to know where the bookkeeping and where everything else is going, because we don't see any of that. We hear of trillions being missing. We hear of gold not being in the arse in Fort Knox. And we hear of Global Hawk drones that are missing from Air Force arsenals just before 9/11. Now, how can we demand accountability in a fashion to where they don't come down attacking us?
My own feeling is it's an issue-by-issue thing. You can't organize people around a concept like accountability. We all have heard about the money going missing, but we have to remember they print the money, so we really don't have a lot of control over that. But I do think if you can organize people around an issue of why are we delivering $10,000 in cash to Karzai of Afghanistan, and organize them around saying no to that, that is a very different picture. There's no question that the elected officials are now so sated with corporate money that they don't think they have to pay any attention whatsoever to the little people. Unless the little people, and I include myself among them, unless we get up on our hind legs and start saying, what are you doing? What is going on? You may have corporate money, but you're not going to have my vote and scare these guys in some way. That is going to just continue to go on.
You might remember just last week, a congressional oversight committee, sort of akin to your civilian oversight, investigated the United States NSA surveillance of virtually every person on Earth. And the Congressional Oversight Committee, which has no power to legislate but only to recommend, said that the government's NSA programs are unconstitutional and a violation of the First and Fourth Amendment to the Constitution. Free speech, free assembly, free association, and privacy. And the government simply ignored it in the name that, well, that may be true, but we need to subordinate the democratic rights of the American people, including the constitutional rights, to the national security interests of America. And those are the so-called 9-1-1 national security, war on terror. Everything goes in order to defend the national security. But, of course, it's they who decide what the national security is. And that means the right to steal oil from other countries, the right to bomb them in order to take their resources and control their governments. That's what they really mean by national security. You could probably count the number of terrorists in the world on a few hands. And the terrorists, of course, whatever individual deeds they may commit, are done as a reaction to the horrors, the drone bombings of 5,000 civilians in Pakistan and the wars that the United States literally organizes everywhere, and the murders in the millions of people and the occupations. That's what fuels terrorism, that is, people to fight back in ways that are individual because they have no other ways. It's not to justify individual acts of killing civilians, it's just to understand why it happens. And the cure to it is to bring the United States troops home from everywhere. We're not the cops of the world. And in order to do that, you need a truly massive movement to defend the most elementary civil liberties and democratic rights, not to mention to fight wars, the prison industrial complex, the growing racist divide in this country, and all of the other horrors that come from a system that subordinates human beings to the profits of the few.
Right,
I have to say one thing. Your show opened with a beautiful young woman singing This Land Is Your Land. And you know, Pete Seeger died yesterday, and that was his theme song from Woody Guthrie.
Yes.
And
yes.
I thought it was a very good choice, and I think we have to make this land our land, not their land, the land of the people, the majority of the people who create the wealth, and not the few bigoted, rich corporate few.
Right on, Jeff Mack.
Absolutely, Jeff. Absolutely. We're all with you on that one. Jeff, I was a former military personnel myself, and I joined the military to defend this nation. But as I've seen that this nation is on the offensive and not the defensive, I'm like, what am I doing here? I'm not here to kill people to make anybody rich. I'm here in defense of my land, and I'm here in defense of my home, my family, and the people here in the United States. But it seems that our military has turned into a national offensive, and we've been offending countries all over the world.
That's absolutely
true.
I'm going
to have to bow out at this point. I, as I said, because of my residual exhaustion, I go to bed very early. So it's 10 o'clock here in New York. So I'm going to thank you so much for having me on. I enjoyed it very much. And call me again if you think there's something I might contribute on. And it was a real pleasure. Thank you. Good night, Jeff. Good night, Ralph.
Good night, Lynn.
And we'll see you soon, okay?
Absolutely. Bye-bye. Thank you very much, Lynn. Have a great evening. But we're about to wrap it up anyways. So, Jeff, I'd like to thank you for being here. You've been a great guest, along with Lynn and Ralph. I thank you guys very much, and hopefully we'll have you guys back on once again in the near future.
We're honored to be with you.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. And this is Rock Cash signing out for this week on the BBS Radio Network with our awesome sound engineer, Don Newsom. We'll see you guys next week. Have a good evening.
One bright sunny morning in the shadow of the steeple by the relief office, I saw my people, and they stood there hungry, and I stood there wondering if this land was made for you and me. This land is your land. This land is my land, from California to the New York Island, Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters. Yeah, this land is made for you and me.
BBSRadio.com. If it's not mainstream, it could be here. Information and knowledge bring humanity closer to truth.